Have you ever wondered what it sounds like under the soil? Today on the Swiss Connection, we've got an ear on life underground and why it's important to listen. We're also going to learn how to keep things buzzing in an urban landscape. I'm Susan Masika. The soil is a key resource. Did you know that more than 90% of our food is grown in or on the soil? And it does other things too, like filter and hold water or store CO2. But if you lie down and put an ear to the ground, you probably won't hear much. However, I got to borrow a special machine that records the sounds of the soil. This is how it went when I tested it near my apartment in Bern. So, I'm outside looking for a good place to put this recorder. And it's this funny little machine. It looks a bit like a guitar amplifier, one of those pedals anyway for an amplifier. And it's got a long wire coming out of it. And no, Sam, no. I knew this would be a problem, that I'd go out with this machine. My cat would come along because he thinks it's a game. But what it's got a long wire on it. And the wire has what kind of looks like a knitting needle on the end, but thinner. And so the idea is I stick it in the ground like this. Oh, Sam, no. Yeah, so just it's a matter of I've got headphones attached to it, and I'm trying to find a good spot where I can hear some sort of activity under the ground and the soil. And that could be, the sound of little insects moving around, or it might be the plants themselves, or the roots, let's say. I don't really know what I'll hear.
Well, as you could hear, my cat was interfering. And on top of that, I struggled to find a good spot. But then, under some bushes, I felt like I could hear something. Munching millipedes, maybe? I don't know. So I left it in that spot overnight, feeling kind of worried that maybe somebody would steal it, or that an animal would pee on it or something. And then my other fear was that it wouldn't record anything. The next morning, the device was still there, but there was no way for me to check the recordings myself. I had to send it back to Zurich, where somebody then opened it up and uploaded my files, and then sent them back to me. There were lots of audio files, but I could barely hear a thing in any of them. I was so disappointed. But I kept listening, and finally, I found a few interesting sounds. This is my best of collection. But what are these sounds exactly? I wanted to get an expert's opinion, so I asked the person who designed the recorder, the world's first scientist to use acoustics to research the soil and the life inside it. Markus Maeder is a PhD student in environmental sciences at the Swiss Federal Technology Institute in Zurich. He's also a researcher at the Institute for Computer Music and Sound Technology at the Zurich University of the Arts, so he's a scientist and an artist.
Well, we had special sensors that we developed actually originally for recordings in plants, and once I took them with me and took them just out of curiosity into the soil. And it was really astonishing to hear what's going on there.
Markus is the leader of a project called Sounding Soil. The idea is to measure the amount of activity underground. For example, it could be earthworms, springtails, or pseudoscorpions. It could be the root systems of plants and trees, or it could be a fungus. Markus's team hopes to show that acoustic soil recordings could be a quick and affordable way to measure biodiversity. Biodiversity is essential for life on Earth. Having a diverse number of plants and animal species translates into good food, clean air and water, and better recovery from natural disasters like flooding or droughts. If there are lots of different noises in one place, it suggests a high level of biodiversity there.
So it's a really complex acoustic system that you hear once you have the sensors in the soil. Then this signal of these sensors is amplified 1,000 times. So normally you won't hear, and you would like put your ears on the soil, you won't hear anything. So these noises are really low.
How did anybody even get the idea to record a plant?
Well, that's a long story. There was one researcher who was investigating the acoustics of plants since a longer time, especially regarding drought stress, because thirsty plants, they do a lot of sounds, actually. So I met him once and suggested to him that we could work together from a scientific and artistic side. And he agreed. So this became an official research project by the Swiss National Science Foundation. There we developed a lot of technology for being able to listen to plants, actually. And that's the same technology we also use for listening to the soil.
What does a thirsty plant sound like?
Well, it sounds a little bit like popcorn. Yeah, because these sounds emerge. They are so-called cavitation pulses. That means when not enough water is in the soil, but transpiration is going on in the plant. So there is sunlight falling on the leaves, and this transpiration causes water transport. And at a certain point, there's not enough water coming from the soil and the water column breaks in the tissue and certain vessels fill up with air instantly. And that produces a click or a popping noise. And as thirsty a plant is, the more it produces these sounds. So actually there we could make also something experienceable like climate change or effects of climate change on plants, because the plant that we investigated was a Scots pine in the Swiss mountains, which will disappear there because it's getting too dry now.
And what about my recordings, which I took in relatively moist soil? What can we hear there? Well, the thing is, it's not possible to identify the individual animal species, because this field of research is just so new that nobody really knows what they sound like. Marcus thought the first part sounded like a creature moving around or eating. I love trying to imagine little jaws at work. And he said the second part was probably just something heavy being moved above ground, so it was the vibrations that had triggered the sensor. Oh well. But Marcus's team has collected some fascinating recordings from all over Switzerland these past few years. Here's the sound of the soil on organic grassland. Sometimes you can hear birds or traffic in the background. And this one is an alpine meadow. Listen to how lively this one is. It's from a compost heap at a community garden. You can hear all sorts of organisms having a real feast in there. Marcus really wants us to care about the health of this hidden world under our feet. He says a lot of us aren't aware that the soil is so alive or that it's so sensitive.
That's especially the case in agriculture. So as soon as you start to disturb a soil, that's actually also the thing that we heard during our recordings. As soon as you are in arable land, for instance, that is constantly disturbed by agricultural treatment, it gets quiet. And when you're somewhere in a meadow in the Alps, it's very alive and a lot of animals. So that's something I want to show to the people, how different soils at one hand sound and how dramatic sometimes also human impact is on soils.
The Sounding Soil Project does outreach work with schools and museums and citizen scientists like me to raise awareness of the value of soil ecosystems. Want to hear more noises from underground? Then go to the project website. That's www.soundingsoil.com. There you'll find an interactive map of Switzerland where you can click around and listen to soil sounds from all over the country. What you're hearing now is a rooftop garden in Zurich. In places where a lot of the ground has been paved over and built up, It's these patches of soil and their greenery that help to provide cleaner air and cooler temperatures. And plus, they're pretty. And Zurich does pretty well when it comes to urban biodiversity, which is when wildlife thrives in a city. I was talking about this with Joan Casanella-Zabella, a Spanish PhD student who's researching biodiversity and conservation biology in Zurich. He was telling me that Switzerland's finance capital tends to be a lot greener than other European cities, such as Barcelona, which he says has a shortage of green areas. But in Zurich, the high standard of living means that there's money for public parks and private gardens. I met Joan for a tour of some of Zurich's green spaces. And he also helped me identify a bug that I'd been wondering about.
There's a parasite moving. Oh. There's a horse with the long
tail. Oh, who is that one? Who is that bug? The one, it looked like a mosquito a little bit.
It's a wasp, and it's a parasite of other bees.
So that's a type of wasp. It's so small, though.
It's no money that I don't know how is it called the name in English, but it's a parasite now, of the musk bees. It's a type of bees.
At the time, I had some sticks holding up a tomato plant on my balcony. And now I know that the little wasp crawling into the end of one stick was a parasite that laid its eggs in bees. Anyway, Joanne and I were at the foot of one of Switzerland's tallest skyscrapers, Prime Tower. The shiny blue glass is quite a contrast to the place that he wanted to show me, which is called Frau Gerold's Garden.
And this is a nice example of an outdoor area where they combine very well these novel habitats or novel urban habitats with a commercial activity, which is having a bar. And it's like, okay, let's try to cope a bit like human needs or business also with nature. And it starts here and it continues as we enter inside.
Oh, fantastic. Let's have a look.
Yeah.
It's where people, as well as insects, birds, and other small animals, gather to eat, drink, and enjoy a leafy escape from traffic and concrete. Trees and rock piles provide shade and housing. There's an insect hotel. Vegetables and kitchen herbs grow in a random collection of containers.
And like we heard about in the Sounding Soil project, even potted plants make an important contribution to biodiversity and the overall health of the environment, especially when the pots are big. And you can make an impact with very simple materials.
They made the best with the space they had and with the structures they had. Without investing in many fancy things, they used these wood boxes from the train and some pots and so. They created as much as they could, I think, these bags and these pots. And I think they invested in having different types of plants and ornamentals, native cultivated varieties. And it's really giving an impression, okay, you see tables everywhere and so, but at the same time, it's quiet. There is a bird there, for instance, there are a couple of them. It gives an impression of having biodiversity everywhere. Like it's a small urban jungle.
While we were there, we saw a huge variety of plants, as well as a lizard and a hummingbird moth. And not too far from there, Joanne showed me a park next to the tram lines at Escherwiesplatz. About two-thirds of it was lawn, but the rest was much more varied. There was a playground in a mini woodland, and flower beds with some native species of plants. And there were even some scruffy bits that looked really weedy.
So we have a clear transition, which the more conventional lawn that people use usually to lay down, to have a beer, to meet friends, with a completely different green area. So we see a lot of annual plants growing more or less freely. I think it's quite significant because it denotes that they have been taking this into account when designing the park. And this I like.
People passing by this space probably don't give much thought to what's going on in the soil underground or the value of what's growing out of it. But Joanne really believes in the potential of these so-called unmanaged areas. This is where nature has a chance to do its thing. It's a little oasis providing shelter for the small and clean air for all of us. It's where a weed might blossom and provide food for the bees. It's where birds might find insects or seeds to eat. Joanne and I passed a space like this near the train tracks before we said goodbye. We stopped for a closer look, And there we found a red and black Italian striped beetle. You can see a picture of that and some of the other things we've been talking about on social media. And I'd love to see your wildlife pictures or videos, which you could also share with us there. The Swiss Connection is a Swissinfo production. You can find out more about Switzerland's flora and fauna on our website at swissinfo.ch. We produce this podcast twice a month, covering all sorts of topics, including science, business, politics, and culture. Go on and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss the next episode. The reporting for this one was by me, Susan Masika. Our sound engineer is Mr. Danny Wheeler, who helped me dig through the audio for the best sounds. Music man Michele Andina composed our theme music.
Oh my God, stop that! No! Sammy, stop it!
And our production assistant is my cat Sam, who got a little overexcited while we were examining the soil. Looks like I'll be replacing the foam windscreen on my microphone. Thank you for listening.